bid you welcome again this morning and express my appreciation for your being here. Again, we say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together, so I appreciate so much your desire to be with us today. There is again an outline in the bulletin this morning. If you'd like to follow along with the lesson, you're very welcome to do that. I think this has been having a series of lessons on prayer on Lord's Day mornings for the last month and a half or so. So I think this will be the last one in the series. We talked about hindrances to prayer and gave you a listing of things that hinder prayer. Also gave you a list of reasons why we should pray. We talked about for a biblical list of those for whom we should pray. We talk about a time to pray. Then we talk about kinds, different kinds of prayer that the Bible mentions. So the lesson this morning is the sin of prayerlessness. Saw this article in Christianity Today magazine several decades ago, but I keep articles on certain topics. William Chapman wrote, that years ago as a young boy, I heard an evangelist preach at the church in Chickasaw, Alabama. Says his name was, he quotes it this way, Jess Hellfire Henley from Atlanta, Georgia. He announced that he was going to preach in the Sunday evening service on the subject, the greatest sin in America. Well, that Sunday night, the church building was packed. Everyone had come to hear of this great sin in our beloved nation. Was he going to preach on murder, adultery, drunkenness, some other big sin that we usually place at the top of our list of wrongdoing? But Chapman wrote, no, a thousand times no. Rather, Jess Henley preached that night on the subject, prayerlessness, the greatest sin in America. I don't have his outline. I don't know what he said about prayerlessness, but I have some thoughts that I'd like to present for our lesson this morning. I put in your notes in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. Samuel said, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Samuel considered his silence in talking to God on behalf of Israel as a great sin. We've always recognized, at least in recent years or decades, that sin may be of two kinds. Bible class teachers or preachers have said this for years. And say, oh, there's a sin of commission, meaning sins that we commit or things that we do wrong. 1 John 3, verse 4, and I don't have this in your notes. 1 John 3, verse 4, it says, sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is something we commit. Then the preachers of Bible class teachers will say, but there's also a sin of omission or failing to do what we know is to be right. And in James 4, verse 17, it says, to him that knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. So we speak of sin as being something that we, something of commission or sin of omission. Remember a Bible class teacher at the youngsters and kind of giving a lesson like this and talking about sins of omission and commission. And then when she finished, she asked him, it's always little Johnny, isn't it, John? So she asked little Johnny, now what are the sins of omission? Little Johnny said, well, I suppose those are the sins we were supposed to commit but didn't. Those are sins we just omitted that we're supposed to do. But one kind of sin is not worse than another. They're both sins. This lesson this morning is on the sin of prayerlessness. Prayerlessness, or spiritual silence. Perhaps might be considered a sin is because prayer is within the possibility of every one of us. We can't all preach. Some think they can. but we can't all be preachers. But we can all pray. We can't all give large sums of our treasure. We can't all go to the mission field. Maybe we think I'm limited in my ability to witness in the open air. I'm limited in my ability to lead a Bible study. But we can pray. Every one of us has the ability and the opportunity to pray. You'll realize one of the very first evidences of life is a cry. When that doctor delivers that baby, I want to hear a sound, sign of life. God wants to hear from you and me. It's a sign of life. Spiritual silence. In other words, our lack of talking to God is not the best situation in those terms. God wants to hear from us right from the start. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. God wants to constantly hear from you and from me. In our Sunday morning Bible class, this morning on our lesson that came up, the topic was prayer. It's going to be again next Lord's Day morning also. But I just put out I'll get this list here. I didn't print this list, but I had this prepared. About prayer in the life of Jesus and in the life of the early church. And when you look at the compilation or the piling up or the listing of the times that Jesus prayed and the early church prayed, and this kind of, for you and for me, a little less of self-inspection, how do I measure up to that example? Here's the listing of the times that the Gospels mention that Jesus prayed. He prayed at his baptism, Luke 3, verse 21. Jesus also being baptized and praying. Luke 5, verse 16. He withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Luke 6, verse 12. It came to pass in those days he went out into a mountain to pray, continued all night in prayer to God. When it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, of whom he named apostles. So he prayed before choosing the 12. He prayed before feeding the 5,000. Mark 6, verse 41. He looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves. Mark 6, verse 46. And when he had sent them away, meaning the multitude that he just fed, he departed into a mountain to pray. Luke 6, verse 19, or verse 18. Luke 9, verse 18. It came to pass when he was alone praying. Luke 11, verse 1. It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. In John 17, verses 1 through 26, I'm not going to read all 26 verses, but just the opening verse. These words spake Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. And from the next 25 verses, you have word by word of Jesus' prayer to the Father. When he instituted the Lord's Supper, in Luke 22, verse 19, he took bread and gave thanks and broke it. Luke 22, verse 41, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. On the cross, Luke 23, verse 34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. I've just given you 11 situations in the life of Jesus that the Bible mentions that he prayed. Perhaps there are more, maybe one or two that I've overlooked. But just note that when the Bible records the ministry of Jesus for those 3 years of his ministry, the number of times that even the Son of God talks to the Father. Now notice it in the life of the church or Jesus' disciples. Jesus obviously thought that prayer would be an expectation, that it would be obvious in the life of his followers. He said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5, and he repeats it in verse 6 and in verse 7. Each verse begins in his message to the disciples, "When ye pray." When ye pray. There was just an expectation about Jesus that his followers would be a people of prayer. In Luke 18, verse 1, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and faint not. In Acts 2, verse 42, when the church was established, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. Acts 12, verse 12, and when he, meaning Peter, had considered the things, he was just let loose from jail, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered praying. In Romans 12, verse 12, Paul writes to the church in Rome, rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. In Ephesians 6, verse 18, in the text that was read to us, after Rick read about all those things that are involved in the Christian's armor that we are to put on in fighting against the wiles of the devil, then it says, and praying always with all prayer. In Philippians 4, verse 6, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In Colossians 4, verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. And the Bible lists more, but I just reached the end of the page on my computer, so I stopped listing the verses on prayer. But the list goes on. Now just knowing the number of times that Jesus prayed and the times that the early church prayed, or the expectations that Jesus had of his followers that they would pray, how does your life and mine measure up to that example? I'll get you a copy of this for next week if you'd like, but I'll have those available for you. Then our lesson today, 3 reasons. Let's do this rather quickly. 3 reasons why prayerlessness is sin against the Lord. Number one, when you fail, or you and I fail to pray, the cross of Christ is despised or it's ignored. See, one of the characteristics of the Christian faith, of Christianity, is an access to God that we are to enjoy. Access to God that we are to participate in. Now, sometimes people argue over religious symbols. They think, oh, what's a good symbol for Christianity or religion? You know, they'll mention a cross or a dove or angels or a crown. And those are fine, but when you think about the time when Jesus died, one symbol was the rent veil of the temple. And it was torn from top to bottom. The rent veil by God was God's announcement of the access of all mankind to God. The veil of the temple was rent. It was a symbol of the fellowship that's now possible between a holy God and sinful man. And I put in your notes in Ephesians 2, verse 14. For he, meaning Jesus, He is our peace, who has made both, meaning Jew and Gentile, both, all people, made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Verse 18, for through him, meaning Jesus, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Because Jesus died, he took away that veil of the temple that was separated between not only within the Jewish rank, but also Jews and Gentiles. When Jesus died, he made access for you and me to have access to the Father through him. When we fail to pray as we should, the cross of Christ is despised or it's ignored on your part and mine. Jesus died to make access for us, a communication that's meant to be enjoyed. And when we are spiritually silent, we look at that cross in a way and say it's not valid. I put in your notes these two ways. Prayerlessness ignores the price paid for access. The temple's veil was rent after Jesus died. When Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up his spirit, the next verse, I didn't put that in your notes, but it's Matthew 27, verse 51. The veil of the temple was rent. The price paid for our access to God cost the Son of God his life. And Hebrew writer makes reference to that. In Hebrews 10, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the way which he, it's an actual quote in Hebrews, by the way which he dedicated for us. Access to the Father. Come boldly. Jesus provided access. It's a new, the Hebrew writer continues, a new and living way through the veil. Through the veil. That is to say, his flesh, let's draw near. When we fail to pray, spend more time in prayer, the price is ignored that was paid for our access to the Father. It ignores, secondly, the path of access. You think of the hurt that God perhaps feels when this access is seldom used by us, his children. We as parents, when we don't hear from our children as often as we would like to hear, you know the hurt. Children may not know the hurt the parents feel, but the parents know. The parents feel the hurt when children don't talk to them. How does God, how does God feel when he's provided access, made a new and living way, and his children don't call? When you pray. Number two, the Church of Christ is deprived. See, there's answers that the Christian is meant to receive in prayer. In Luke 11, verse 9, Jesus, in telling that story, says, ask. Ask. And it shall be given. We deprive ourselves of blessings from above. When we talk about that little sermon on things that hinder prayer, something that hinder prayer, we just don't ask. We want, need to be encouraged to ask because Jesus has provided a way. And in the Bible, God is pictured as one who hears and answers prayer. James 4, verse 2 says, you have not because you ask not. So we fail to pray. We're deprived of things that God wants to give to us. spiritual laziness is self-robbery. We rob ourselves of things God would give us if we ask. Sometimes I know our children and parents, we know our children need things. We may just think, oh, they'll be okay, they'll get by. Now I'm thinking about giving them something a little bit later. But all of a sudden they may come and ask. And as a parent we think, oh, that's right, yeah, I can give that to you. I was thinking about doing it later, but you ask now. Ask. Ask. Number three, the cause of Christ is defeated. So there's an access that we're meant to enjoy. There's an answer that you and I are meant to receive. And there's an attack against us that we are meant to defeat. That was in the text that Rick read to us this morning. The Christian is to put on the armor of God. And then he seals it with prayer. And one of our most powerful weapons, one of our most beneficial spiritual protections is all prayer. We can fight a valiant fight, not only with the armor, but when we use the armor with prayer, the ability and the equipment to beat the devil and the temptations he places in your life and mine. When you're tempted, don't forget to pray. To pray. Many of us, and I think at times in my life too, went to battle, went to war without prayer. What would you think of in baseball if a catcher went, got behind home plate, didn't have a glove on? You need that piece of equipment. Or a batter comes to the plate without a bat in his hand. Oh, you need that bat. It'd be easier to hit that ball. Or trying to stay warm without fire. Or a Christian in battle without prayer. The lesson was titled Prayerlessness. Sin